like I'd sort of prepped you for. But it's not often that you come to something and you can really have time with the speaker to ask the questions that you've been thinking about as you've been listening to the input over the day. So I really want to encourage you, throw out some questions. What does this mean for us? What does it mean for you? How do we take the next step? Those kind of questions, things that you've been thinking about, clarification, perhaps on some of the things that Mick and Ruby have said today. So it's really open to you in this last part, and then we'll come into a time of worship and then close off our day. So Mick and Ruby, do you guys want to come up the front? You're in the hot seat without the seat, but it's hot. All right, so the way we'll do this is if you've got a question, put up your hand. I need to work off the sugar from the sweet, so I will run to you with a mic. And you get to ask your question. Please. They get to answer it, okay? You want chairs? No. We can pull them over for you.
No, that's all right. Yeah. Right? Hey, and Steve, would you mind that straight after the Q&A that we head off, because I've got to drive to Auckland tomorrow, so...
Oh, come on. Where's your sense of commitment? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Thanks. All good. Okay, any questions from today?
Kate, yeah.
Me too.
Boy, it's hot up here.
Hold on, it's actually going to be a second. Hold on. I'm going to try. Okay, my question is, what if people are, like, we know people are lost, but what if people are not broken or they haven't hit crisis or nothing's going on in their life where they're like, I need God, I want God. Like, there's nothing that they see apparent that they need to change in their life. They're very happy, they're very content. What do you say?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. So we need that mic. Oh, no, just in case Ruby wants to. So you're saying, Kate, that this person wants a connection with God, but there's...
No, this person's got everything going for them, and they don't need God.
Oh, so they don't need God. You see, there's a gross misunderstanding, friends, in terms of what is the gospel. And so those at Festival One would have remembered that I gave something brief on this, and I haven't got time to do it now, that the gospel is not, you know, how you can have a wonderful connection with God through Jesus Christ and your life can be transformed and so forth and so on. That is the fruit of the gospel. It's not the gospel. So when people say, I've got everything, I don't need God, I say, oh, you've got the wrong idea about what it is to be a Christ follower. I mean, the gospel is about how God said that he would one day return as a particular person to a particular people as a particular person. The gospel is about the royal birth of Jesus. The gospel is about the works, the deeds, the lives, the works of Jesus. The gospel is about the coronation of Jesus the King. In the crucifixion, we're like a king. He took on the real enemy, the enemy of death, which stops people, and he took on the enemy of sin, which distorts people. The gospel is about the triumph of the king in the resurrection. The gospel is about Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. Irrespective of your need, that is the gospel. So to people who say, I've got everything and I don't need anything, I don't need God, I say, you've got the wrong picture of what it is. And Jesus is king, and you need, yes, a leader in your life. Well, that's, and if they don't want one, Kate, well, Scripture tells us they have every right to make that decision if they don't want one. And I will respect that decision, even though I am saddened by it. Sorry if you got a bit of a preach there, but yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I think there's a great danger in us feeling we have to help people see their need or see their sinfulness. Like sometimes we think that's our job, is to help people see that, you know, they need a saviour because they're sinners. And really, I think it is just about having that relationship with people where we are curious about what it is they do believe. I mean, everyone believes something. You know, I'm really fascinated. What people do believe about the invisible world. Most people believe something's going on that we can't see. What is it that they're thinking about that? And so just being really curious about where they're up to in that whole journey that everyone has around what they think is true about themselves, about the spiritual world, about what's happening in the world and what are the dynamics of the world. Like, most people know there is evil. What do they think that's all about? So I think it's very much about sticking with curiosity. And it's God's job to stir people in terms of their hunger or fascination or interest in Jesus. But I'm clear what I believe, which is what as Mick said. And so therefore I can comfortably talk about that, you know, but of course other people don't have to at all. So yeah, I just think we've got to be really careful about what is our approach to the person, because we're not trying to stir something up here that they're not feeling.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong before, having a connection with God through Jesus enabled by the Spirit such that there can be a quality of life before you die and a quality of life after you die, that is good news. That is the fruit of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. I mean, in 2 Timothy 2:8, it says, remember Jesus my King according to my gospel. So the gospel, essentially at its core, is about Jesus is Messiah, is Lord, is King, full stop. But there's fruit of that gospel. Yeah. Okay. Any other question, friends? Or we can go home early. Yeah, there's one at the back over there. Just yell it out.
I don't know where.
Yeah, just there. Maybe this could have been.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, yeah, thanks for speaking today.
Yeah.
I think it's been really helpful to sort of plant these ideas here amongst us, and I think it's desperately needed. I guess what you're really saying is, you know, what you're really doing here is apologetics. So maybe you could comment on that. I've got a lot of questions, I suppose. That'd be one of them. I mean, I do a lot of apologetics, and this is really the bread and butter. What you're doing today is really the bread and butter of apologetics, I would say. Secondly, there, in terms of the gospel, I think, I mean, I found today very frustrating in the sense that my heart is deeply an evangelist. I think I resonate with you guys a lot like that, but I feel very stifled in the context that we live in. I mean, if we go back 20 years, maybe there was Rise Up, and there's been other sort of movements like that that have happened, but today it's very difficult to be an evangelist in our culture. We need a new set of skills to do that.
Absolutely.
But I think one of the things is, and I just want to get you to clarify this for me. You said the gospel is something to do with Jesus being your leader, and I think what we have to be very clear about is what, not just what our story is, but what the biblical story is. And that biblical story doesn't seem to me to be that Jesus is my leader. It's that Jesus is my saviour. And that's absolutely crucial to what the gospel is. Otherwise, what am I saved from? And what was Jesus the Passover lamb for? What did he die for on the cross? Why was he punished by God on the cross? I think we've got to be clear about what the gospel is when we're actually sharing that with,
absolutely,
with people. So, I mean, my fear here is that maybe I've misunderstood you, but my fear is that we're almost talking about different things here in terms of what the actual gospel narrative is.
I think you raise... So what's your name?
My name's Rob.
Rob. Thanks, Rob. I mean, I think Rob does raise a really important point. You know, there's a lot of confusion in and around what is the gospel. And I would say with Rob that it definitely is Jesus the Saviour. We see that in Romans chapter 1. But it is also Jesus as King. So it's not separating Saviour and King. I mean, Jesus Christ is not Jesus' surname. You know, Christ, Christos, is Messiah. Messiah is Anointed One King. So I've just popularized it by using the word leader. But in Acts, you know, basically what the Apostle Paul was saying, that there is another king. To say that in the time when Nero and other emperors lived was not an easy thing to say. It's like us saying there is another leader in town. That is Jesus Christ. So I do think that kingship is at the heart of the gospel. But the fruit of that kingship is what you're saying, Rob, in terms of him being a savior as well. I mean, that's the best king you can have. In terms of your comment about apologetics, I'm pleased to hear that you are an advocate of apologetics. I think what Ruby and I have, we haven't so much attempted that today, even though that's a worthy attempt. We have tried to approach becoming more confident communicators of the gospel, not apologetically, even though that needs to be done, but relationally. That's been our emphasis today. So I hope, is that helpful? Okay. No, bless you, Rob. Thanks.
And I think my plea would just be around language, because I think the word saviour is a tricky word today. Like, how do people hear that? What do they understand by that? And if it's like, well, I've got a problem and I need to be saved, then probably a lot of people say, well, I don't feel the need to be saved. So I think we do have to rethink the words so they make sense to people today. And I would say we are called to completely abandon ourselves to him. You know, my life is now in his hands. And that is the call of our King. And we mustn't fudge that, or we make it just, you know, Jesus, this lovely Saviour who wants to be our new invisible friend, which doesn't cut to the meat of the tough stuff of people's lives or this world. So that's just some other kind of thoughts around that. But
yeah, and it is interesting with Paul. He did use the word king at a time when there were tyrants in power. But he still chose to use that word. And he still chose to define himself as a slave when there was horrendous slavery at that time. So I think some words need to be continued to be used. So I will use the word king. But as Ruby is saying it, I then go on to nuance it. And I say, look, we know a lot of kings are tyrants. If you want to look at what a king really looks like, hey, look at the Gospels. You can't get better than that king. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyone else? Yes. Just yell it out. I'll repeat it. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, what's your name again? Oh, well said, Matthew. So, I mean, it's like what Ruby said. I mean, what do you do with a king? I mean, kings, you give away your life for the rest of your life to a king. To become a Christian, there is bondage. It's not just privilege. But it's not enforced bondage, it's voluntary bondage. And so when I became a Christian, I said to this Jesus, I give away my life for the rest of my life. My life is now owned by you. And so Jesus can speak into a surrendered life and say, in light of that, this is the call, the burden, the purpose I want to lay on your heart. And he did that with me, and he did it with Paul, and he's done it with Ruby, and he's done it with so many others. Oh, absolutely. Well done. Yeah. That's what you're meaning.
Yeah, just sort of like I feel like some people have come to this perspective where John Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You got it. Anyone else? Richard.
Yeah, Mick, I really resonated with your kōrero around telling our story and distilling and refining our story. Yeah. And I guess that's something I've tried to do, not as energetically or as formally as you've done, but I've tried to do that over the years. And when I look back over my Christian journey, going back to, you know, a young non-Christian kid coming into a youth group from a non-Christian home, something that was very, very prominent in the church in those days was a very similar concept, but we called it testimony.
Yeah.
And do you feel there's we should create greater space for the telling of testimonies, our stories within our meetings, our services, that type of thing? Because, if somebody gives their testimony in a church service, often you hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And even, I guess one of the mistakes we've made is that often we think, you know, you had to have been to prison or done drugs or committed murder and then come to faith. And so people think, oh, I don't really have much of a testimony. But we all have a story, as you said.
Yeah.
And so perhaps we should share them more.
Yeah, I've been a pastor 5 times over, and I think it would be fair to say that I was forever encouraging people to come up the front and share their stories, not just their conversion stories, but a week story, a year story, a season story. So we were forever getting people to come, and that, in a sense, kind of helped them to put pen to paper, and it got them into that practice. I think that's so good. And I've also learned as a pastor, you know, if you don't mind me saying this, Steve, but as a pastor, you have very little influence, actually. You know, like, if I was trying to advocate something in the church, I could tell people were thinking, it's all very well for you, Mick, you know, you work one day a week, and you know, this is your stuff, you know. And, you know, so they would easily dismiss the idea by dismissing me. Do you know what I mean? But this is what I did. So me knowing this, I used to get the elders to come up the front and share their stories about the very thing that I was trying to advocate. I used to get Harry and Sally and Jack and Betty to come up and share their ordinary radical stories about the very thing that I was advocating. And I noticed that the members in the church, they listened to Harry and they listened to Sally far more than they listened to me. My job was to present the idea. But it was for Harry and Jack. They embodied some of that stuff. And so we got motion. So, yeah, I think stories from more and more in our gatherings are important. Yeah.
And, you know, we're not saying go out and make something happen that isn't already happening. Because it's already happening. I mean, God is at work in your world, in your neighbourhood, in your life. And I think the stories that encourage each other of how is God at work? What does that look like in your life, in your life? So that helps me recognize God in my own life. You know, answers to prayer is like God is active. You know, he's doing these amazing things every single day in the smallest moments and in the really big hard stuff. It's like we need to hear how he is active in our world, because there's a bit of a myth that God isn't sort of doing much at the moment. And that it's really hard out there and people aren't really interested in God. Oh no, God is active. Jesus is king in our neighborhood and he is, you know, fulfilling his purposes through me, through you. And sometimes we're just not seeing it. We're not recognizing it. We're not encouraged in it. So, yeah, absolutely. Let's share our stories of how is God active in your life, in my neighborhood, in little ways and big ways.
Anything else, guys?
Anyone else?
That's a wrap. Cool. That's so good. So let me ask my question. What's the one thing that you were curious about, impacted by? In a sense, you want to do some reflection on it, a walk in the park. What was the one thing from the four sessions today? The one thing. The one thing. Tell the person next to you. Go to it.
Okay, I'd like to just finish our input time just by praying for Ruby and for Mick. And I don't know about you, I've just really enjoyed today listening to them. I've been challenged. I've loved how practical and down-to-earth what we've heard is. And I think it's really right in the place we need to hear as a community as we move forward into the next things that God has for us. So it's really been an honor to have you both. Thank you for carving out the time to spend the day with us. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for this incredible couple. I thank you so much for them coming and sharing their hearts with us. God, the message has been one that's right in season for who we are and where we're going at Central Baptist. And Father, I just really want to pray for them that you would bless them in every sense of that word blessing. You would do good to them, and that you would replenish in them the time and the energy that they have put into this day. God, as they travel up to Auckland, we pray that you'd be with them and guide them and lead them. Father, that you'd keep them safe, that you would widen the tent of their influence, God, not only in our region, but through our nation and around the world. I thank you for the quality of people that they are and for their incredible heart for you. Lord, it's an honor to be with them today, and we honor them and we thank them. And we thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, that it's all been about you and what they've shared has been about you. Help us to put into action with what we've been challenged by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Sam.